This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. We're ready. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
The ongoing threat to the state of Texas with Tropical Storm Nicholas, which slammed into the state overnight as a hurricane. New video shows the system pounding the coast. It blasted ashore with winds of more than 75 miles an hour. More than 7 inches of rain have already fallen in the Houston area, flooding roads and downing trees. And power is out for more than 300,000 customers. Janet Shamlian is in Kema, that is near Houston. Janet, good morning.
Tony, good morning to you. While you are along Galveston Bay in the community of Kema, a coastal community, where you can see what hours of rain has done to the roads here. But it is not just the rain. That wind has plunged communities into darkness, and the number of customers without power is growing every few minutes. This is the same area that was slammed by Hurricane Harvey in 2017 with a record 60 inches of rain. Nicholas is not that storm, but already the governors of Texas and Louisiana have asked for federal aid. And this is coming just 2 weeks after Hurricane Ida slammed Louisiana. Take a look at what's happening in this region, in the community of Freeport, where roads are covered with water and visibility is almost zero in some areas. This is definitely a big rainmaker. Besides the power outages, wind gusts have been bringing down trees, this one slamming into a recreational vehicle. No one was hurt there. Now, even before landfall, Nicholas pelted the coast with more than 70 mile an hour wind gusts, damaging this gas station. And this is early. We're going to get a better look at damage in the next couple of hours. Back here in Kema and throughout Southeast Texas, officials are asking people just to stay put right now, to buckle down, do not go outside. There are traffic lights out all over the region, and a lot of the roads look like this. It's going to be like this throughout the day. Gail?
All right. That does not look like a good day there. Thank you, Janet. For more on the storm's path, let's bring in CBS News meteorologist and climate specialist. That's Jeff Baradelli. Jeff, good morning. Fill us in.
Good morning, Gail. Good morning, everybody. We had a wind gust to 95 miles an hour last night, so we have lots of power outages. But the big story is the rainfall, and it is going to pile up during the day today. So let me show you the weather wall, and let's talk about where the heavy rain is right now. We'll bring up the radar. Over the past 6 hours, you can see it made landfall about 40 miles to the southwest of Galveston. Now the heaviest rain right here in the northeast corner of Texas and into southwestern Louisiana. And all of these bands, 2-inch-an-hour rainfall rates, and the possibility of some isolated tornadoes on the northeast side. During the day today, there's a center of low pressure. Look at this 5 out of 5 flood risk in southwest Louisiana. But notice the dry air and notice this wind shear coming in, kind of tearing the system apart, you know, and pushing a lot of the moisture to the east. So that's going to limit rain totals a bit, but take a look at how much rain that we expect to see. I'm going to bring this up right here. This rainfall is tremendous. So we're talking about anywhere from, you know, 8 to 12 inches of rain across this area. I'm going to push this on over to the weather wall and show you that. Heaviest rain really could be anywhere from the Mississippi coast straight through New Orleans. They've had 2 to 3 times the amount of normal rain over the past, you know, couple of weeks or so. And that extends all the way west towards Port Arthur and Lake Charles. So we're going to be dealing with a pretty long day and some pretty extensive flooding.
All right, we'll get through it. Thank you, Jeff. The Biden administration's plan to begin COVID booster shots next week is being criticized by the U.S. and international experts. Two outgoing FDA officials and other scientists told the Lancet Medical Journal that the widespread boosting should be undertaken only if there is clear evidence that it is appropriate. Now, the FDA says in a statement that the views of the authors do not represent the views of this agency. Our Dr. David Agus joins us to sort this all out. David, this is why so many people, I think, are confused and, dare I say, frustrated and angry, because even the experts don't seem to be on the same page. What do you make of the mixed messaging?
I think it's inappropriate for current FDA officials to write an op-ed based on their ideas. We need to look at the data. And, you know, the quest for certainty is dangerous. If you look at the data in Israel, remember, in July 30th, Israel approved a booster shot to 60 and older, and there's more and more data coming from that cohort in that country. And I've talked to health officials there, and it's clear that immunity goes down on a monthly basis, and giving a booster shot raises immunity 4- to 10-fold, and they are seeing fewer infections, fewer hospitalizations, and fewer deaths in the vaccinated who have been given a booster shot. So while there are risks associated with waiting, I want protection for people in the United States.
I want protection too, and as soon as I'm eligible, I'm going to be first in line to get the booster. Now, these experts also say that it's more beneficial to vaccinate people who have not been vaccinated rather than to boost the immunity of people that have already gotten the shot.
Well, I mean, they're right, right? We need to vaccinate more people in the United States. I think what they're also referring to is around the globe. The more we stop spread of COVID-19 around the globe, the less chance of a variant, and obviously we're going to help many, many people. There are more vaccines now. Earlier in the pandemic, there was a significant supply issue. That supply issue is being resolved now as the manufacturers are making more and more doses. And then there's the argument that if we are doing well in the United States, our economy is okay, and we are actually able to provide more doses to around the globe. And I think it's a cogent argument. I think we have to take care of our country, and then we can help other countries with these vaccines, because we need to stop this pandemic here and abroad to stop the new variants from coming on board.
Yeah, I just wish people would pay attention to the science. It makes no sense to me that the rates are going up when we have vaccines, more than one vaccine to choose from. No. Thank you, Dr. David Agus. Thank you.
Yeah, with kids back in the classroom, it is crucial to understand what's going on with the vaccines. Now, it's recall election day in California, time for voters to decide if Governor Gavin Newsom will keep his job. President Biden joined Newsom last night at the final rally before this high-stakes election that could have national consequences. Major Garrett is in Marina Del Rey, California, where Democrats are confident they will win. Major, good morning.
Good morning, Nate. Good morning, everyone. You know, top advisors to Governor Newsom told us something interesting last night. They said there is no scenario, their words, no scenario in which the governor loses this recall election. That, they said, was based on public polls, their own internal polls, and what they described as heavy early Democratic turnout. That confidence notwithstanding, here is what we know. 8 million ballots have already been sent in this recall election. California spent more than $200 million to hold it. And Gavin Newsom, the governor, has plowed more than $65 million into the effort to keep his job.
California, you've got to keep Gavin Newsom as governor.
In Long Beach last night, President Biden and Governor Gavin Newsom, now aligned on vaccine mandates, said the recall is in part a referendum on science and public health.
Voting no will be protecting California from Trump Republicans trying to block us from beating this pandemic.
Economic justice is on the ballot tomorrow night. Social justice is on the ballot tomorrow night.
Today, voters will decide on two questions. Should Newsom be recalled, and who among 46 candidates should replace him? Republican frontrunner and radio talk show host Larry Elder has vowed to reverse Newsom's COVID policies.
Men and women who did just that lost their businesses because of the way Gavin Newsom shut down the state while, by the way, leaving his own winery open.
Even so, recent polls show a majority of California voters back those policies, meaning the issue that first jeopardized Newsom may save him.
I think he's doing great for the environment. I think he's doing great for California.
California is a deeply blue state, but 5 weeks ago, Democrats admit the race was close and Newsom in real trouble.
Why recall him now as opposed to waiting next year until regular general election? I mean, it's just a year away.
I'd say to prove a point.
To get the guy out of there. He's not doing a job, obviously. So let's take a stand as Americans and get him out.
For the governor to lose this election, the polls would not just have to be wrong, but spectacularly wrong. That is possible, though not probable. But if that is what plays out here in California, Californians won't know the result of this recall election tonight, Wednesday, possibly not even until Thursday. But if Newsom prevails, it will be possibly an indicator to Democrats nationwide about enthusiasm heading toward the midterm elections, when, of course, the fate of Congress, that is to say the control of it, and the Biden agenda will be up for debate and up for grabs. Gail?
Yep, a lot at stake here. Thank you, Major. California man faces charges in Washington after U.S. Capitol Police found a bayonet and a machete in his pickup truck. Officers say that the truck was painted with white supremacist symbols, including swastikas. It was found parked near the Democratic National Committee headquarters on Sunday night. Capitol Police say they arrested 44-year-old Donald Craighead for possessing prohibited weapons. They say that Craighead told them that he was, quote, on patrol, and began talking about white supremacist ideology. Police say it's not clear if he was planning to go to a rally on Saturday to support those who were arrested after the January 6th assault on the Capitol.
And the fencing is back up around the Capitol. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken goes to Capitol Hill this morning for a second day of questions about the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. Yesterday, Blinken told a House committee the evacuation of Americans and their Afghan allies was, in his words, an extraordinary effort. He also said the Trump administration left a deadline but no plan to get out. Republicans on the panel disagreed.
This administration's bungled pullout from Afghanistan just may be the worst foreign affairs disaster in American history.
We have an administration that doesn't know how to confront an adversary, understanding that they do not respect weakness, they only respect strength.
That we deserve to know better answers, have better hearings on this. I do not believe a word that you're saying on this.
Simply put,
I do not wish to hear from you. I'm not
simply
yielding
put,
you a moment
Congressman,
of time.
What you said is dead
you a moment
wrong.
Of time. I don't wish
there
to hear
no
your lies.
Manipulation of intelligence.
Some tense moments there, and Blinken also rejected a claim that the Biden administration misled the public over the Taliban's advance and said that staying longer in Afghanistan, 2 years, 5 years, even 10, would not have helped.
Now, as we've been reporting, Nicholas threatens to bring even more destruction to the Gulf Coast, including Louisiana, where many people are still reeling from Hurricane Ida. CBS Morning's lead national correspondent David Begno was recently in the state. David, good morning.
Hard to believe, good morning, that they're facing another flooding threat when that area is still underwater, flooded with water and mud from Ida 2 weeks ago. We were there just last week, and we saw that hurricanes affect not only the living, but the dead, too.
High above Barataria, Louisiana, on private property, surrounded by floodwater and just beyond a pile of trash, was a coffin that had floated away during Hurricane Ida. It was found in the woods. The graveyard where it had floated from was just 300 yards away, and it was underwater. We spotted a nameplate, Esther Morton. I Googled the name, found the obituary, and reached one of her daughters, who told us that Mrs. Morton, who was a custodian at the local high school for more than 30 years, had been buried here 8 years ago.
Oh, my Lord. It's been a while, since 2013.
That was the last time Troy Harvey saw his grandmother's casket, when he helped to carry it at her funeral.
I don't know how we're supposed to get the casket back into its place, but I'm sure they're not comfortable having it sitting on their front lawn either. Oh, Jesus. Oh, so much.
It is estimated that between 30 and 50 caskets were displaced due to Hurricane Ida's storm surge. That's according to Ryan Seideman, who flew over portions of southeastern Louisiana looking for coffins that got away. Seideman is chairman of Louisiana's Cemetery Response Task Force.
Why do coffins pop up from the ground in Louisiana?
These concrete burial vaults that are put on the ground, directly on the ground, or partially in the ground. They tend to be buoyant air pockets in floodwaters, and they want to float. And so if those waters come in and rock them back and forth enough, they'll just come up and travel with the floodwaters.
It is about getting them back in the ground as soon as possible. If there's anybody that can help us with this, it would be highly appreciated.
Troy Harvey did not have to look far to find that help.
Hate to see my grandmother imposing on y'all, bro.
That's sad, huh?
That's the way it goes down here on the bike, bro.
That's it, bro. It's all good.
It's all good, brother. Yeah. I mean, as soon as the ground can get dried out, bro, we can put it back in.
I got a trailer, man. We'll take it and put it to rest. The water go down.
Seriously, bro?
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
Thank you, my brother. What I told you, bro. Lafitte, man. It's family.
That's it.
These men remembered each other because they grew up right here together, 40 minutes outside New Orleans. But they haven't seen each other for 30 years since Troy moved to Texas. Kindness is what brought them back together and will guarantee that Mrs. Morton rests peacefully again.
Once again, baby.
To rebury those caskets, families could rely on assistance from FEMA. In Louisiana now, and they did this right after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, they actually now mandate that you identify caskets for events just like this. And FEMA, by the way, will provide about $8,000 to families to make sure that those coffins are properly reburied.
That's the thing about your stories. They are always so layered. It never occurred to me that A, caskets could come out of the ground that way. But then it ends up on that man's lawn. It turns out the two people know each other, and you're there when they... It's too much.
Yeah, human kindness is a beautiful thing.
But I'm filled, though, that this will have a good resolution, as good as it can.
And not just neighborly kindness, though. It feels deeper than that.
Yeah. It does.
And it provides perspective. I'm not being dismissive of what has happened up here with trees falling down or a little bit of flooding. But there's people in Louisiana that are going through it.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
David, thank you very much.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.